This is the Podium Finish Live from Austin, Texas, and various points across the country. Here's your host, Rob Tiansen.
And a good day to everyone out there listening to us. Welcome to the Podium Finish Live, episode number 83. I'm your host, Rob Tiansen, joined alongside Nathan Solomon as we get you prepared for the weekend that will be at Watkins Glen International. And of course, look back at all the amazing action that took place at Indianapolis Motor Speedway's road course. It's an action-packed show. We have a lot to get to right now. So without further ado, let's go bring in Nathan, because Nathan is all ready to get going to Watkins Glen. So Nathan, I know we have a lot to catch up on. So how are you doing right now?
Doing well, and very much looking forward to this weekend at Watkins Glen, of course, my home race. So we're recording here Wednesday night. So looking forward for these next 2 days to go by quickly before getting up to the Glen for some ARCA action Friday night. So pretty stacked ARCA field, so that should be fun. And then we got Xfinity practice and qualifying, Cup practice and qualifying, and then the Xfinity race Saturday, and then of course the Cup race on Sunday. So yeah, it should be fun. Watkins Glen's literally like three towns over, so a stone's throw away. So, and the best part about it, I get to sleep in my own bed at night too, so that's always a plus of covering that weekend as well. But looking forward to it.
That sounds like a good idea, and you don't have to go to the Red Roof Inn. Not that we're sponsored by Red Roof Inn, so life is good for you.
No Red Roof Inn this weekend.
Well, that sounds like an awesome plan ahead, and we're looking forward to your coverage as always. And of course, folks, TPF Live is never quite TPF Live without a hot seat segment. So on this edition, Nathan is going to have you get to know about Christian Eckes from the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Of course, he drives for McAnally's truck team, the number 19 NAPA Auto Parts Chevrolet Silverado. So later on in the show, we'll hear from him. Now, forewarning, of course, it was just before the truck playoffs began, but still, it's going to be a lot of fun to hear from a relatively younger driver on our series for the hot seat and on our podcast as well. So I'm looking forward to it because, to be quite honest, it's my first time hearing it, just as well as you folks at home are going to be hearing that as well. Before we get to the fun of putting in perspectives, let's hear from our presenting sponsor, SpoilerDieCast.com, right now.
Hey, racing fans. Are you in the hunt for the latest diecast cars from Lionel Racing or F1 or IndyCar diecasts? Well, look no further. If you head to SpoilerDieCast.com, you'll find all of the latest and greatest diecast cars and get free shipping and 5% off of your orders if you use promo code TPF by spending $20 or more on your items. Head over to SpoilerDieCast.com and let Evan and his team know that you want the best diecast cards around. And if you use promo code TPF, you'll be in the winner's circle. It doesn't get better than that. So just head on over to SpoilerDieCast.com and make your latest purchases today.
That's right, folks. SpoilerDieCast.com. If you use promo code TPF, you'll get yourself 5% off and free shipping if your order is $20 or more. Doesn't matter if it's pre-order items or in-stock items. So do it up. Get Evan on his team cranking on your orders, sending those out within 4 business days or less. Pretty fast in the days of USPS, I would say. And speaking of fast, let's get to it with Podium Perspectives, powered by SpoilerDieCast.com. We're going to start things off with what happened in Indianapolis in terms of our winner. And that, of course, would be Michael McDowell, 38 years old, of Phoenix, Arizona. He was pretty much on the inside, looking more inward in the NASCAR Cup Series playoff standings. But, of course, a victory at this point of the season would get you solidly in, locked in. And by far, Michael McDowell made a statement this past weekend. He was the fastest car in Saturday's practice session, and he backed it up with a relatively strong qualifying effort inside the top 10. And outside of Daniel Suarez, McDowell was about the most dominant car and driver of Sunday's Verizon 200. And once he got into the lead, other than pit stop cycles, it was pretty hard to wrestle the lead away from Michael McDowell. And as a result, you know, with a smooth drive, great pit stops, and a relatively caution-free race other than a lap two incident involving Justin Haley just after turn six, I mean, Michael McDowell was just giving everybody a masterclass as to how to win on a road course, or a hybrid road course for that matter. No matter what kind of track it is for this type of racing, McDowell's the winner. He's in the playoffs. And really, Nathan, you've been keeping track of how the number 34 team has been doing all season. You know, how momentous and pivotal was that victory for McDowell and his team, knowing that they're in the playoffs? And oh, by the way, we're heading to another road course this coming weekend.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they unloaded it Saturday super fast. I mean, they were fastest in practice, and they missed the pole by a little bit, but it didn't take very long for McDowell to get out in the lead on Sunday, and he essentially led that whole race. I mean, really the only time that he didn't lead from the time he took the lead on lap six was during the pit cycles, right? Like, you know, he'd pit and then kind of get stuck in traffic for a little bit, and then once the pit cycle got completed, he'd be back in the lead. So he did a really good job of not making any mistakes. I mean, they hit their marks basically on both of their pit stops. I think the first pit stop was a little slow, but ended up losing the lead there not really the lead because they were in traffic, but losing a position to Daniel Suarez, but he got it back. But yeah, I mean, they're obviously really, really good, and we knew that Michael McDowell was capable on road courses, right? Like, he has a road racing background, just hasn't always had all of the proper opportunities and good equipment to succeed and run well, and he's gotten these last couple of years and had some really good runs last year, but didn't really have that race winning speed. Like, he had top 10 speed. You know, I think we really saw it this year at Sonoma as well. He probably had the second best car. If he didn't have an issue on pit road there on that last stop there, he probably would have had something for Martin Truex Jr. there down the stretch, and especially after that late caution. But he dominated. He held off one of the best in the business in Chase Elliott, and he did a really good job of managing that gap. I mean, for most of that last stretch of the race, he held about a 3 second lead, and Chase Elliott did cut into that a little bit. I don't know if it was just Chase Elliott driving like overly hard, or maybe Michael McDowell not quite driving as hard in fear of like making a mistake or something. But it doesn't matter though. In the end, he won by about 9/10 of a second, and he made every corner. Like, they just didn't make any mistakes. So it was a perfect day for the 34 team, a statement win for them. I mean, Jerry Freeh said it after the race. I mean, the first three wins that organization have been a little bit more like circumstantial. Like, they ended up, you know, they won their first race at Talladega in 2013 with a 1-2 finish, and with David Reagan and David Gilliland 1-2, and I think they started like 10th and 11th on that, you know, NASCAR overtime attempt. They just got kind of lucky there and ended up winning. Their second win was with Chris Buescher. It was a rain shortened race at Pocono. They just played out that strategy perfectly, and they won that race. Obviously, when they won the Daytona 500, the seas kind of just parted there for Michael McDowell when Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano crashed each other on the final lap. So a lot of luck has been involved with those first three wins, but this one was just pure domination and for sure a statement win for Front Row.
Exactly what the doctor ordered from that Ford Performance Racing team. And so congratulations, of course, to Michael, crew chief Travis Peterson, and to Bob Jenkins and everybody over at Front Row Motorsports on a superb, relatively smooth victory. And at this juncture, it's really no surprise that they're in the playoffs, and I wouldn't doubt that they can get their second win this season because they're really good in road courses. Hey, they can maybe get three in a row because Michael McDowell is also a pretty good super speedway racer, so get used to hearing a lot about Michael McDowell for these next 2 weeks, because that could be a little team that does some big things in the coming playoffs, as well as just the end of the regular season, which, believe it or not, this is the penultimate race weekend for the regular season. Just seems like yesterday when we were talking about the Clash, much less the Daytona 500. Well, Michael McDowell is the one celebrating what happened at Indianapolis. It wasn't the greatest of weekends, of course, for AJ Allmendinger and Bubba Wallace. I mean, Bubba Wallace didn't have quite the trials and tribulations of AJ Allmendinger, but certainly it was not the points racing weekend that he was looking for. You know, he finished 18th, did not get any stage points, only netted 19 points. AJ Allmendinger, in the meantime, only finished 26th, got spun out by Ryan Blaney, and that kind of infuriated Allmendinger as he threatened to wreck the heck out of Ryan Blaney. I'm not going to say the uncensored edition, but nevertheless, those two drivers who were looking good with their playoff chances, all of a sudden, they're starting to feel the heat in the kitchen with Bubba Wallace only 28 points ahead of the cutoff line and AJ Allmendinger well outside of the top 20 at this point of the season and really needing a win to make his way into the playoffs. So, Nathan, I know it's a twofold question I'm about to ask you, but is it time for both Bubba Wallace and AJ Allmendinger to have to step up to the plate at this point and get a victory in these next two races?
I mean, AJ, no doubt. I mean, he's in a must-win situation. I mean, I don't know how well he's necessarily going to perform at a place like Daytona. So, I mean, I think you really have to view Watkins Glen as a must-win. And he's gotten it done there in the past. He won there 9 years ago for his first Cup Series victory. I mean, and he finished second there last year to Kyle Larson in both races. I mean, it was, remember that? I mean, it was the Xfinity race and the Cup race last year were 1-2 with Kyle Larson first and AJ Allmendinger second. So, yeah, I mean, AJ certainly knows how to get around there. That being said, though, it feels like colleagues' road course program has been a little bit off this year compared to last year. I mean, obviously Justin Haley was really good at Chicago, but I think they've just been missing something a little bit on the road courses. But I think Watkins Glen might be AJ's best track, so I'd expect him to at least be in the mix. And I mean, when you go back to Indianapolis, I mean, I think to a degree, I mean, they were actually pretty quick when he was running around nobody. I think to a degree, his weekend kind of got messed up on Saturday because they did not qualify well, and he got stuck, you know, in deep traffic and with only one caution there. It's just not good circumstances for him to get through the field, right? Like, I mean, if there's only one caution, it's on lap two. If you start 26th or 29th or wherever he started, you're just not going to drive through the field on a road course. It's just not going to happen. So to start off, he needs to qualify better at Watkins Glen this weekend. For Bubba Wallace, it's kind of a weird situation he's in because he's still in the playoffs right now. He's still 16th in points. I think he's maybe you have it in front of you, what, 28 or 30 points above the cut line right now. He's still in, but he has to manage that gap for sure. I know that. He'll tell you he's not the best road course racer in the world. He knows that. I kind of think their goal was to run 15th to 20th at Indianapolis. That's kind of what it seemed like, and that's what they did. They ran a pretty mistake-free day. That's just not a strength. He's not a road course racer. That said, though, they also kind of got unlucky because I think they were also hoping that of some of those bubble guys, maybe a couple of them would just kind of miss it. Well, none of them missed it. They were all, except for AJ, really, they were all on it. I mean, Michael McDowell, obviously, he was the best car and won the race. Chase Elliott needed to win his way in. He was good. Daniel Suarez, who was right around the butt line, the cut line as well, they nailed it in terms of setup as well. Ty Gibbs was really good, except after he got spun early on by SVG, we didn't see a whole lot of him. I think he ended up finishing 11th, but didn't get any stage points, and now he's almost in a must-win situation too. So if you're Bubba Wallace, I mean, you have to step it up a little bit. Yeah, probably. I think you need to run at least a few positions better at Watkins Glen than Indianapolis, and I think he is probably a little bit better at Watkins Glen just because he's a little bit more familiar with Watkins Glen compared to some of these other road courses. So, obviously, you go to Daytona. I mean, he's a great super speedway racer. I mean, you look at a guy like Bubba to run up front all day. And in terms of just kind of projecting where this cut line could be, I mean, if there's a repeat winner, I'm going to say Bubba's probably only maybe 10 or 12 points above the cut line right now, or if there is a repeat winner on Sunday. If Chase Elliott goes out and wins, he is in trouble. Then he's got to go out and he's got to win at Daytona because there's no way really to point his way in if a Chase Elliott were to win or a Daniel Suarez were to win on Sunday. So I think Bubba is okay for now. I mean, you can't let your guard down either. But at least at Watkins Glen, his goal has just got to be to kind of manage that gap, see if maybe he can find a way to get a few stage points in there, and then go out and kind of have the mindset of, okay, I kind of need to win Daytona, even if, you know, he could still point his way in or not, because you never know what could happen there, you know. For all we know, somebody like Chase Briscoe, who's 31st in points, to go out and win Daytona and lock himself in the playoffs and knock out Bubba Wallace. So I can tell you this, he's not going to go out and win the race at Watkins Glen on Sunday, but he could go out and win at Daytona, and for now, he's just got to manage the gap.
That's what it's all about, managing that gap, because that seemed to be what their MO was at Indianapolis. But as you said, it's unfortunate that their playoff bubble opponents also had great days. Even with Ty Gibbs' spin by Shane Van Gisbergen, you know, he still managed to fit a top 11, which that's something in a race that featured very few opportunities to play catch up and make adjustments on your car. So, you know, for Bubba Wallace, I know that, again, he's going to probably think, I can't win the race. I just have to basically, you know, minimize as much of the loss I can have against my rivals who are vying for that 16th playoff spot. But it's kind of like what Buddy Baker once said about Bill Elliott racing a little bit too cautiously at super speedways. Eventually, if you keep going to the back of the field, trouble will find you anyways. So, you know, he's not a bad driver at Daytona. He can certainly be in the mix for the victory in next Saturday night's Coke Zero Sugar 400, which we'll talk about on episode 84. But in the meantime, of course, it's going to be a tough time for you folks that are fans of the number 23 team. So we'll see what happens. Maybe he'll get some notes and input as well from Tyler Reddick, who is a pretty proficient road course racer. And of course, a three-time road course winner as well from his victories last season at Road America, Indianapolis, and by the way, last year, or actually earlier this year at COTA. So much to look forward to on that. As far as AJ is concerned, yeah, I would say the Colic Racing program's kind of dropped back a little bit on the road course side of things. I mean, when AJ was just finishing top 10 at Sonoma, I was like, he can do better than that. I know he can do better than that. So I'm sure he would love to try to make things easier on himself by getting a victory on Sunday, but it all starts with that important, really short, but critical practice and qualifying round on Saturday afternoon. Now, before we get to winning time, folks, we're going to have to talk about Michael McDowell again, because last week, of course, it was announced that Michael McDowell and Todd Gilliland were going to return to the team next season for Front Row Motorsports. So for the first time, I think, really in many years, Front Row Motorsports has a very solid, consistent lineup. Michael McDowell doesn't have to worry about who his teammate will be next season. It's not like how in Hogwarts they have a different defense against the Dark Arts professor. He's going to have the same teammate, which is, that's key for that organization. Now, Nathan, I know you've been covering a lot about Front Row Motorsports this year, and really for the last year. You know, how can you discuss the importance about having a cohesive, consistent unit at last? Because for many years, it seemed like Michael McDowell was wondering who his teammate was going to be each season.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, consistency definitely means something within that camp. But I mean, we've seen that team just progressively get better and better each year. And I think a lot of that is because there's been a little bit of consistency in both cars. Obviously, McDowell's been there for, I think, 5 or 6 years now, full time. And now Todd Gilliland's going into he'll be going into his third on the Cup side, fourth with the organization, or is it fifth with the organization? Because he did, oh geez, I'm trying to remember. Did he do one or two Truck Series seasons with them? But still, he's been very familiar with that organization. So when you have that familiarity, even if it's on the truck side too, that certainly means something for team camaraderie and all that. So. Yeah, I mean, certainly very good timing that they announced that both of those guys are coming back next year, and then Michael McDowell goes out a few days later and wins a race and kind of validates everything. So I think a lot of it, at least on, you know, the 38 side of things, was because of they kind of had to make some decisions based on sponsorship. They needed to bring guys in that had a little bit of money behind them because they are one of the more underfunded Cup Series teams. But I also think that being able to bring back, you know, and have the same, you know, lineup for 3 years now, or going into their third year next year, because they've had some more success, you know, they have a little bit more partner stability and a little bit more financial stability. So I think that's a telling sign on the direction right now of Front Row. So awesome to see. I think Todd Gilliland's really done a good job this year, and I don't think enough people are talking about it. I mean, you know, obviously, again, they still don't have the resources that some of these other teams have, and Todd has really put together some pretty respectable finishes this year. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, Todd's going to continue to get better and better. Obviously, Michael McDowell, even though he's in his upper 30s, he's never been performing better than he is right now. So I certainly think that seeing the direction that Front Row is going in, there's no reason why Michael McDowell can't win a few more races in his career, and no reason why Todd Gillen can't get his first career victory with the organization either. So love that Front Row is bringing both of them back, and I think it'll bode really well for them in next year and for even more years to come.
Certainly, because Todd, let's not forget, folks, he's kind of had an unusual 2022 season because he kind of had to cede the number 38 ride to give it to Zane Smith, who at this moment, we're not sure what his plans will be for next season. So when Zane's been in Todd's regular ride, he's been having to drive for Rickery Racing, for instance, as he did at Phoenix when he finished 32nd, and also in the Coke 600 at Charlotte when he finished 33rd because of an accident. But really, all season long, when he's been in his regular ride, he's been a top 15 driver, sometimes even a top 10. He's three top 10s this season. So he's not doing a really bad job at all. He's a Cup sophomore. It's going to be tough. I mean, look at the drivers like Jeff Burton, who struggled in their second season in Cup, but they stuck it out. They kept digging. They just didn't complain. They didn't make a big stink when things were going badly. And eventually, you know, things got better. So I kind of think Todd Gilliland has that sort of flair to him, and it's good that he'll have a consistent home for next season and not have to worry about, oh, am I going to have to drive for another car in 2 weeks' time when I'm already getting in the groove with my crew chief, Ryan Bergenti. So it's well-deserved. He did race for trucks in the Front Row Motorsports Collective for 2020 and 2021. And I think he has shown Bob Jenkins and Jerry Freese exactly what he can do in that number 38 car. So congrats to him. And of course, to Michael McDowell, knowing that they're going to have a home for next season, which is a critical thing when you think about the big TV contract deals that we're going to probably talk a lot about going into 2024. And that stuff's pretty fun. I know for you fans, maybe not the greatest thing to talk about, but it's good to pay attention to those things for sure. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for winning time. And that is the time that we give our picks for who we think will win the NASCAR races during each weekend. And in this case, it's Watkins Glen International, which is a 2.45-mile road course in the Finger Lakes region. And so for this case here, for Saturday's Shriners Children's Hospital 200 at the Glen, our defending race winner is Kyle Larson, who is not entered in this race weekend. Instead, we're going to have Kyle Busch in the number 10 car, and oh, by the way, Alex Bowman in the number 17 car. So as of this recording, Kyle Larson's not in the race, so we'll have a different race winner for Saturday's race. And then for Sunday's Go Bowling at the Glen, the Cup race, round number 25 of 36 of the racing season. Yeah, folks, we're going back pretty quickly here. Kyle Larson is a defending race winner for that. In fact, he's won the past two Go Bowling at the Glen races at Watkins Glen. So, Nathan, because you're from the Empire State, why don't you tell the ladies and gentlemen here listening to us who you're picking for this weekend?
Sure. So on the Xfinity Series side, I'll go Ty Gibbs to win the Xfinity race, make it two in a row. I believe he's in his eighth Xfinity start of the year now for JGR. He won the Xfinity race there 2 years ago. And I think he finished in the top five there last year too. So, and that was a really, st- or no, actually, I, I'm, I'm excused on that because him and William Byron wrecked with like five to go racing for the win last year. But he was at least in contention to win last year. But I'll say Ty Gibbs goes two in a row in the Xfinity Series, heads back to victory lane at the Glen. And then on the Cup side, we'll make it a JGR sweep for the weekend because they've been really quick on road courses all year on the Cup side. And it'll be with Martin Truex Jr. MTJ is a very good road course racer. He won at Watkins Glen in 2017. It seems like he's always at least in the mix there. So we'll go Martin Truex Jr. to get win number four of the year. And of course, if he wins the race, which that would essentially secure his regular season championship, because I think he is like 57 points ahead of Denny Hamlin, 60 points ahead of Denny Hamlin. So, clinching the regular season championship is well within the realm of possibilities, for Watkins Glen. I think it's just about if he scores more points than Denny Hamlin, I think he just about secures the regular season championship. So, that'll also be a story to watch for this weekend. We saw Chase Elliott secure it last year at the Glen. But we will see what happens here this weekend in the battle between the two JGR teammates.
It's an interesting choice right there to go with the JGR boys, and certainly with Ty Gibbs in the Xfinity race, he seems like the easy odds-on favorite for sure. But let me give you folks my picks here, because I certainly am going to go a little bit differently than Nathan on this side of things with our picks. So starting with the Xfinity Series race, the Shriners Children's 200 at the Glen, you know, you have to think about Cole Custer. I'm sure he wants to go ahead and get another win to, you know, move up his way up in the point standings for the playoffs. You know, someone like Sheldon Creed, who's searching for his first career Xfinity Series win. I know we keep talking about that, and I can't forget how well he ran at Portland, so he seems like another good pick right there. But in terms of a solid race pick for the Xfinity Series race, I'm going to go a little bit differently and say Parker Kligerman gets the job done and gets Big Machine Racing securely into the round, the 12 drivers who will be in the playoffs. So I'll go with a number 48 team to get the job done on Saturday afternoon. As far as the Cup race is concerned, I mean, I don't have to really think about this pick. I've had this pick in mind since really last year, and it's not really a surprising one when I say it's the number five car, Kyle Larson, who will win his third go bowling at the Glen. And really the last time I think anybody has won three races in a row at Watkins Glen. Man, I don't even think Jeff Gordon did that. He could have in 1997, 98. Actually, no. Jeff Gordon is the most recent three-time winner at Watkins Glen in terms of getting three in a row. So I think Kyle Larson's going to match his hero's accomplishment and get that third go bowling at the Glen victory, which will be tough because Chase Elliott's going to be in desperation mode. I know he's 19th in points and theoretically could get in by points, but let's be real, folks. The rest of those bubble drivers are going to be pretty darn tough. So if Chase is going to go in by points, he's going to have to hope that the other bubble drivers have a bad day. And if you're going to have a repeat winner, it doesn't hurt to have Kyle Larson win the race for sure. So that's who I'll go with for Sunday's race. But what do you folks think? Why don't you get with us on X and on the Threads app at the podium finish or at Rob Tiongson for me, Rob Tiongson here, and for Nathan Solomon's handle on X and on Threads, it's nsolly02. If you happen to make the correct picks for both races this weekend, we will personally order you a 2023 164 diecast car that's in stock from spoilerdiecast.com. So super, super, super easy. You don't have to go on eBay. You don't need to enter any contests. Just make some picks, tweet to us. You can X to us or write to us on Threads. And if you make the winning combination, you are going to get a free diecast car. With that, folks, I think it's time to go mosey on over to the hot seat. And with this week's hot seat, I am going to give the keys over to Nathan because he is the interviewer for this week's hot seat segment. So, Nathan, why don't you tell the folks at home who you got to talk with for this week?
Yeah, so it'll be Christian Eckes here in the hot seat. I talked to Christian a few weeks ago, talked to him before Richmond, but you know, he's off a second place finish at IRP to open up the playoffs. So that 19 truck's in pretty good shape right now, heading into the middle race of the round of 10, which will be next weekend at the Milwaukee Mile. So Christian kind of just recaps his season a little bit and looks ahead to the playoffs. So without further ado, let's go to the hot seat with Christian Eckes, another New York native. So Christian, just to start, you know, you grew up in New York. You know, I'm also a New Yorker. I'm a little bit more upstate than you. But just what was it like, kind of growing up in New York and just trying to make a name for yourself in the NASCAR ranks?
It wasn't as challenging as you'd think, honestly. You know, obviously, I got my start at Bethel Motor Speedway when I was 9 or 10, and just kind of progressed from there. I basically moved down south in 2014. Racing legend cars, and this is kind of the mecca for that. So kind of moved quicker than most, I'd say, but obviously getting down here is what really accelerated my career, racing late models and eventually moving to ARCA and trucks. So but yeah, the first couple of years of my career were pretty instrumental in me learning things and putting myself in a position to move forward.
Now, this is your first season with BMR after 2 years at Thor Sport. Just kind of what was that process of like, just kind of finding out that you wouldn't be back there this year and then ending up at BMR here over the off season?
Yeah, I'd heard some rumblings really late, honestly. It was, I want to say, the Monday after Phoenix, and I kind of had thought that everything was going to be okay for the year after. And then I heard some rumblings that the transition to Ford was going to occur, which obviously put me in a weird predicament with Haley needing to go somewhere. So I kind of learned that at the last minute, and eventually found out, you know, that it wouldn't be full time anymore. And it was kind of, you know, I don't know if it was a coincidence or what it was, but I think the Friday before the Monday that I went to Ohio to kind of figure out where everything was, Bill had sent me a text, you know, wondering what I was doing next year, if I was happy, and because he was looking to make a change, and it was really like, you know, I don't even know if I texted him back immediately. It was maybe a day or two later, after hearing some more things about what was going down, and told him to give me a couple days to try to figure out what I was doing and what the situation was. And then obviously I learned, you know, that I'd not be returning in the way that I'd want to be returning, to Thor Sport. So, I met with him. I actually really did everything over the phone because he was in California at the time. But, as soon as I, you know, kind of declined the Thor Sport stuff that we did have going, you know, we moved forward really quickly. And I want to say we started seriously talking on a Tuesday and we agreed to terms on a Thursday. So, it all came together really, really late, and I want to say early December, but lucky timing for sure.
What was that adjustment process like to a brand new team and a new manufacturer?
It's been really smooth so far. I didn't really know what to expect, you know, not being around you know, that sort of team. And you know, I've seen the 19 truck run well, and I didn't really know what to expect because everything that I'd been at before has been, you know, a big team with 4+ teams at both KBM and Thor Sport. So I didn't really know what to expect. But, you know, as I got more involved, I realized, you know, we have everything we need here to go win and go succeed, which we have so far, plus some on top of what I've had in the past. So it's been a pretty seamless transition.
Obviously, two wins at this point of the year. Just how would you evaluate this first season?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's gone relatively well. I think we've capitalized on the opportunities that we've been in to go win, for sure. I wish that the curve was a little bit flattened compared to how we have been. It's been kind of up and down. And we won in Atlanta and then went 5 straight weeks of not getting a top 10 and crashing, I think, 3 of them. And then won Darlington, you know, right after that 5-week stretch. So I think we've done a better job this latter half of the regular season to, you know, kind of flatten that curve and get some consistency We haven't won since, but we finished second and third a few times, and kind of gotten more consistent. So I'm pretty happy with the product that we've been producing. I feel like there has been some missed opportunities throughout, but overall, I feel pretty good about, you know, where our trucks are at. We're building new trucks, you know, a lot. And this is my fifth new truck that we're bringing to Milwaukee that we're building right now. So that's a few times more than what I've had my whole career. And I feel good about our chances heading into the playoffs for sure in that capacity.
And you mentioned that stretch kind of in the middle of the spring there. I think it was 30th, 15th, 30th, 15th, 30th. So, and you mentioned kind of flattening that curve. So what things do you kind of like look at, to try to like just square away with your team to really maintain that consistency?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were taking some unnecessary risks, you know, throughout that 5 week stretch. Whether it was me putting us in situations, and there was just some dumb luck that happened as well throughout those weeks. So, you know, just kind of recognizing that to put ourselves in a better position. You know, be a little bit more conservative in some situations to, you know, put ourselves in positions at the end has really been, you know, the biggest thing for us to be a little bit more consistent. But the product hasn't changed that we're providing a race prep every weekend, which is managing them a little bit better for sure.
Kind of big picture in mindset wise, just how important was it to win a race, you know, relatively early on and just get locked in, you know, just a few races into the year and into the playoffs?
It really didn't change my perspective on it. I mean, it was relieving because, you know, I wanted to come and prove a point, you know, that this could be a successful team and everything like that. So it was relieving to be able to win. And do what we set out to do as far as, you know, winning races. But, you know, it really didn't change my perspective on things as far as, you know, wanting to succeed and making the playoffs and running well. So it was a little bit relieving, like I said, but at the same time, it didn't change much.
Last year you obviously went winless, but when, you know, in 21, you when you were part time, you got a win there. But last year, you know, you're in the mix a lot, contending for those wins. But when you're in situations like that, what are you able to kind of just learn and apply to situations this season?
Yeah, I mean, if you look back at, I did a lot of this stuff over this off season, just trying to figure out what went wrong in some of those situations, because we were in contention to win, you know, 5 to 7 times, and we're leading on the white flag lap, like 4 of them, and it would get passed or do something to put ourselves in a different situation. So, you know, just a lot of self-reflection over the off season on how to fix that stuff. And every situation that we've been in this year, we've been able to capitalize on and either win or bring home a really good finish. So it's just that little stuff, you know, the last second execution and other things that have helped me, you know, close the deal this year for sure.
You know, crew chief wise, just what's it been working like? What's it been like working with Charles up top of the box?
Yeah, I've worked with a lot of smart people over my career, and I honestly feel like Charles is the smartest I've worked with. I think we work really well together in the aspect that we're both really analytical and like things to be perfect, and that's kind of what I feel like makes you succeed in this sport is, you know, the small details, and we're both very detail oriented, and I feel like that's a good thing, and we have a really good working relationship as well as a personal relationship that we've built, and it's been a lot of fun to work with him for sure.
Saturday, obviously the regular season finale here at Richmond, you know, you have, you know, 2 wins, I think 4 stage wins as well, but just how important would it be to add a few more playoff points and get a little bit more of that cushion before you know, things really get underway at IRP here in a few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think the situation that we're in, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the regular season points and trying to figure out if, you know, we have a shot at moving forward in the rankings as far as strictly regular season. But I just don't see that really happening unless something big happens or 30 points down to the top 3 ahead of us, I think. I think 3rd, 4th, and 5th are all tied 30 points ahead. So, you know, obviously, I don't see that really working out for us as far as getting playoff points in that capacity, but you know, going to Richmond and potentially getting 7 more playoff points, and I think would elevate us pretty high as far as you know, the playoff standings. Would definitely be at the top of the list right now, just to get a little bit more of a cushion. I mean, we were talking about it yesterday or the day before. I missed the Final Four, but I think by like 7 or 8 points last year, and I only had, I think, 4 playoff points going into the playoffs. So coming in with almost triple that or more than triple that this year is a plus, but if we can add some more, it'll definitely be a good improvement.
We talked about kind of evening out some of those peaks and valleys, but as you guys kind of head into this playoff run, is there anything top of mind or in particular that you guys really are focusing on cleaning up for the 7-week stretch?
Yeah, I mean, I just think I think our struggles over this year has really been the short tracks, and we've done a lot of work to try to improve that since. Martinsville, we ran top 5, but you really can't count that. Wilkesboro, we were really terrible. I think we ran about 20th all day. So luckily with our GMS Racing Alliance and being kind of aligned with the 23 team and them winning IRP last year and them running good at Richmond, we've kind of, you know, taken their approach for the next few weeks and just improved on it. So we'll have to see, but I feel a lot more confident about that. But with the few short tracks that are coming up, in the round of 10 and round of 8, you know, being consistent and being able to get some good stage points and run well throughout those races is going to be key for us.
And that kind of leads to my next question. I mean, we're in the mix of this, you know, 4 race kind of short track stretch. Obviously, Milwaukee Mile's a little bit more of an unknown, but just kind of how do you view this first round of the playoffs? How do you think this could stack up for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think I feel comfortable in myself at IRP. I won an ARCA race there a couple of years ago. And I feel good about the products that we're going to bring to the racetrack. You know, the next 3 after this week, the round of 10, we got a brand new truck from Milwaukee. And honestly, our best track at the beginning of the year, we've built so many, we're making a new short track truck that'll go to IRP. Which won Darlington, and then we sat on a pole at Kansas and are taking our second newest truck there. So as far as the product that we're bringing, it's second to none for sure. And I feel good about, you know, the speed that we'll have as long as we're trying to get the short track stuff a little bit more dialed in.
And then really just last thing, what really needs to happen for your team to make a deep run in the playoffs and contend for a championship?
I mean, I feel like just not making any mistakes, you know, that's the biggest thing. You know, last year we almost got in by, you know, not making any mistakes and just having a pretty solid playoff run. It wasn't anything really special, which I feel like I want to do, obviously, but not putting in ourselves into a position where we go for a win and wreck and then miss the next round is kind of the biggest thing. So yeah, just staying consistent and running up front more often will project us through the playoffs a little bit better.
Awesome.
And ladies and gentlemen, that was Christian Eckes, who was in the hot seat with our fellow Empire State specialist, if you will, Nathan Solomon. So job well done, Nathan, on that. And of course, as Nathan said, Christian Eckes is 3rd place in the point standings when we get to the Milwaukee Mile truck playoff race in a couple weeks' time. He's only 8 points out of the points lead, so Nathan's got a knack for getting all these good drivers who are having some good runs and, in some cases, a chance to win a championship. So we'll keep our eyes out on that. He's certainly safe right now to be into the round of 8, but anything can happen between now and Kansas next month. Before we wrap up our show, we've been kind of doing our sort of closing thoughts. And with Nathan going to his penultimate cup race of the season, I'm sure he's excited to know that that penultimate race is not a stone's, it's basically a stone's throw away. I mean, this is a fantastic race. You've been covering Watkins Glen really for the past 5 most recent races. So what are you expecting from Watkins Glen outside of what we've talked about on Podium Perspectives and when we started the show?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to follow. I mean, of course, the Cup Series, playoff, cut line, playoff bubble. But I think What we need to also start talking more about is the Xfinity Series. I mean, there's we have a good bubble race there. I mean, in a lot of storylines, because I mean, there's certainly a couple very capable cars underneath the cut line right now. I mean, Parker Kligerman is trying to get himself in a playoff position, and he's really been in a really good battle with Riley Herbst and Sheldon Creed. And those three cars have been pretty even lately. Parker's not really been able to make a whole lot of ground on those two. So Parker and Sheldon are both really good road course racers. So definitely interested to see kind of what happens, how that all shakes out. And then I'm also looking at a guy like Kaz Grahl in that race too. I mean, Sam Hunt's cars have been really, really strong on road courses this year. Obviously, you know, Sage Karam almost won at Road America in one of the cars a few weeks ago. So Kaz finished top five last year with Big Machine Racing. I fully expect Kaz Grahl to be in the mix of things on Sunday or on Saturday. So he could definitely be a bit of a dark horse guy to go out and maybe steal a win. So certainly some guys on the Xfinity bubble that I'm also paying attention to. And then something I always, you know, love about Watkins Glen is the environment up there. I mean, ever since I was a little kid, I mean, again, this is my home race. I mean, ever since I was a little kid, I mean, camping would always be, you know, packed to the brim up there in a sellout. And, you know, camping's already been sold out up there for a few weeks. So it's going to be a packed house this weekend. It's just jam-packed full of fans. So I think it's one of the most attended races all year. Certainly, I know I'm a little biased, but I think it's the best road course that we go to by far. So just looking forward to an awesome weekend in an awesome environment, because there's some pretty good race fans up there.
They're among the best in the world of racing. And in fact, if I recall, on a USA Today poll, Watkins Glen has been voted one of the best tracks in terms of the fans, the fan experience, and of course, with the leadership over at Watkins Glen. So no doubt at all, folks, if you love racing, make a trip to Watkins Glen, preferably this weekend. But, you know, they certainly have all kinds of great activity all year round.
And it's a great area, too, because just down the road at Watkins Glen State Park, they have a really cool gorge trail. I mean, you can, like, walking through, like, waterfalls and these big rock jetties and everything. I've hiked it before, so I also very much recommend that. So you can check out the whole region. My hometown of Ithaca is really not far at all, so you can check out that. You can see the tallest waterfall on the eastern side of Mississippi, Tiganic Falls. So there's some very cool, like, water fixtures and water things that you can that you can check out in the Watkins Glen Ithaca area while you're in town. So obviously the racing at the track is very good, but there's also some very cool things you can check out outside of the track too. And there's also some very good burger joints too. So yeah,
a little bit of everything to do, folks. So make a trip on over to the Finger Lakes region. You will not regret it. It is beautiful, and it's not hot like Texas. So, oh no, by the way, folks, if you're not too far in the area of New York, you may want to go to St. Bonaventure. Just saying, great school. Nathan and I, well, I'm an alum at this point. Nathan will be an alum this coming May.
I know, it's a big week. I'm moving in next week. It's hard to believe. I'm starting off the senior year. So last blast of summer at Watkins Glen, then heading over to Olean, New York next week.
And get to see our friends and family over at the campus in Olean. So going to be a lot of fun, folks. You know what that means when it's Nathan's on campus? That means we're getting to the nitty gritty of the NASCAR season. And for Nathan, college basketball, not long after that. So we'll look forward to that. And hopefully Bonnies are going to be a decent team this season. But we'll get to all of those logistics in the later shows and maybe get some updates about that during the off-season episodes of our show. Because why not? That's what we can do on this show. So with that, folks, we're going to wrap up our program. So for Nathan Solomon and Christian Eckes, I'm Rob Tiongson, saying thanks for so much for joining us here on episode 83 of TPF Live, the world's fastest hour of racing talk. Check out Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts for previous episodes. You will not regret it. And episode 84 will be kicking off next week as we look ahead to the regular season finale for the Cup Series. Still not quite the regular season finale for Xfinity, but Daytona is always unpredictable, and that means we have Friday Night Lights and Saturday Night Thunder. As I always like to say, let's all get the checkered flag, and until next time, so long, everyone.